This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to the Remarkable Results Radio podcast. Carm Capriotto here. It's the only place right here that you'll find over 1,000 archived episodes specifically tailored to advancing the aftermarket. Our passion is to change lives with content that lifts your business acumen, you know, always striving to help you make a difference. It's easy to discuss culture and workplace motivation. You know, everyone understands people want to work in a positive environment. But did you ever stop to think about what truly motivates people? Guess what? It's unique to each person. Do you understand the tangible goals for each individual in your business based on what motivates them personally? Spoiler alert, money isn't the main motivator for people. Thanks to our partner Shopware and Broadly for providing you this episode. You know, how much paper have you touched today? Those are piles of time stacked all over the shop. Think of what you could do with that time and how many more cars you could get through the door. Cha-ching! It's time for a digital shop management system on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, lots of companies say they can help your shop get more reviews, but what do they really offer? Broadly is the only platform that partners with Google for reviews and messaging in the auto space on the web at getbroadly.com/chat. Here's my guest. It's a great contributor to my podcast, Brian Bates. Glad to have you here. Eagle Automotive, Littleton, Colorado. Multi-shop owner. I mean, when's the world going to understand when I say MSO, that means multi-shop operator? I think it's pretty much understandable, right, Brian?
Oh, well, I hope so. But, you know, a lot of people don't understand what IRF means either when we're talking independent repair facility. But, yeah, if you're in deep in owning multiple shops, then, yeah, MSO pops out. Yeah.
It's MSO, four shops. Michael Smith is with us, managing partner Herzberg Smith and Company. I asked him earlier, what is it that he really does? And he said, wow, we help build high-performance companies, and then we help those high-performance companies find high growth. Kind of a management consultant, but an all-around nice guy. It's his first time here. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. And another new voice to the podcast, Casey McGowan from Casey's Independent in Vancouver, Washington.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hi, Casey. You know, when I think of Vancouver, Washington, him and I spoke this week, I always think it's close to Vancouver, but he told me you're not far from Portland.
Yeah, we're closer to Portland. We're in the southwest corner there.
In the southwest corner of the great state of Washington. Well, good. Hey, guys, I've always known that we're only motivated from within. So how does a leader, if that's the case, so how does a leader find and help a person to find his or her motivation trigger? I also want to learn, what do goals have to do with motivation? And I also want to know, does career pathing help in setting a personal motivation? So this is a heavy topic, and I'm sure there's a ton of people in our industry that are just going to say, this is too heavy for me. I need to get a drink before I get into this thing because I got to clear my mind. Because, you know, once Michael defines for us exactly what motivation really is, that's really sometimes difficult to bite off, Michael.
Yeah, it's difficult because we have a long history, I think, in industry, outside of this industry as well, across industry verticals, of believing that we can do things in a moment that are going to get people to do what we want them to do. And it's deeper than that. It's harder to get that done. To begin, motivation, by definition, psychologically, the internal energy to make a change or achieve a goal. Psychology doesn't consider it from outside. It considers it from inside. And so your original comment was right. It really does begin within. There are things we can do outside as organizations to build the pathway for them to follow, put the guardrails next to where we want them to go, get them all pointed in the right direction. This really comes down to understanding what are the needs of the individual, and what is going to motivate them as an individual. And the job of the leader is to find out, this is where we need the team and the organization to go. Here's where the individuals are ramped up and ready to bring their energy to the table, and literally putting those two things together. And that takes us straight to goal setting. It takes to career pathing. It touches all the things that you're talking about institutionally.
Do I have to go out and get some help? You know, Brian, if I work for you, would I have to say, listen, boss, I kind of love the environment, but I just can't get charged up. Can you help me?
Kind of leading into that with what Michael was saying is that it is an internal component of I think the human dynamic is to be motivated or not. And I'm a huge follower of Patrick Lencioni. I love listening and reading his work and whatnot. And in a lot of his stuff, he talks about having people that are hungry, humble, and smart, right? And that's really, you know, kind of a well-balanced person, you know, and he'll say that you can really teach humility. You can teach emotional intelligence. That's what he talks about with being smart. But he says, boy, the hardest thing to teach somebody is that hunger, right? And that hunger really is innate or not. Then when we're hiring people, we look for that. We talk about, you know, being driven and ask them, you know, simple questions. Were you in sports? What kind of person are you when things, you know, go wrong and when things go right, all that sort of stuff. And if we feel like that hunger isn't there, then we really, you know, pause and say, hey, maybe this isn't the right guy for the position, because we don't want to spend a lot of time finding that internal motivation. But what, like Michael said, is we want to give them a path to take that energy and say, let's take the motivation and your goal setting and the drive to get to this particular place, whether it's, you know, money driven or value driven, that they want to, you know, come away with a value of being part of a team and building something, all those sorts of things, right? And let's take that and give you a way to achieve those things, because you already have that drive from within. And I think when we talk about motivation, we've probably all, if we've been in this business for more than, you know, 3 months, we've probably all ran across somebody that is just like, man, that guy's a good guy, but boy, just like, you know, trying to drag an anchor, you know, along with us. It just, like, you constantly have to, hey, what are you doing now? What's going on? That sort of thing. And you finally realize that the guy just, you know, wants to show up and check the and just check in and mail it in. So making sure that you've got the right people, then you can start getting into what I really like and what I have a lot of fun doing is actually giving people the opportunity to be successful, whatever that success means. And so when you're looking from a company standpoint and having that that relationship, that you identify that we do have the same goals, and that if the individual is, you know, reaches success, that contributes success to the company. If the company reaches success, that's because people that are in the company are achieving success individually, making a collective success. So you got to start off with that motivated individual, and then when they show up, you got to provide them a path and a way to succeed.
Brilliant, Brian. I appreciate that. One of the things, Casey, that Brian, he used the word pay in there, you know. And so if I knock on your door, Casey, and I says, hey, boss, I want to talk to you. And I'm really coming to you to help me, you know, find my way, if you will. But so many owners out there, you know what happens? Oh, cripe, he wants to talk about pay. We can't look at it that it's just about pay. There's other things.
It's so much more than that. Right from the interview process for me, we don't usually, we always focus in on where do you want to be? I mean, what's your end goal here? Do you want to be an owner? If you're a technician, do you see yourself being a technician your whole, you know? And I think it's really important to find a vision for them, you know, and paint your vision. And I was a technician. I went to tech school. I mean, this is where I started. And I've been so fortunate that, you know, where we can go with this. And that to me is hugely important to motivate the person right from the, you know, set the goal from the beginning that, you know, you get a technician, a service advisor that might want to be a manager that might be a GM or an owner. Those are the paths that I think that right from the word go, you kind of get a sense of where, you know, where people are and where they, you know, what their future. And I have to say right now is the best time. What's going on right now, I believe people are so open-minded for change. You know, we just went through a bit of a turmoil in the last 2 years, and I'm probably understating it a bit. But the bottom line is, people are thinking about things they haven't thought about. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've met, even my employees and outside of my business, that are not sure where they're going. I mean, they're leaving good jobs. They're leaving states they've lived in their whole lives. They're open for change. So if you can communicate with your employees and motivate them now to say, let's talk about a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Let's just talk about it. It doesn't have to be written in stone, but it really needs to be talked about, because you're never going to get to any goal unless you know the path to get there. And you got to know what you want. And if you want it, you can vision it, you can get it. And I truly believe it. I think the motivation is that where it starts with your team.
You know, making sure that when they do show up, that there is something that keeps them looking towards the horizon and constantly looking for those goals. And when you're looking at pay, you know, Kent had said, hey, look, if your biggest hurdle discussion is pay, you've got a bigger problem. You're right. That should be, hey, look, you're going to get paid fairly here. And we know that, you know, this is what your value is, depending on the production, skill level, experience, all that sort of stuff. But let's really focus on this. And I equate it to when you're selling a job to a customer, that if all you're talking about is price, then that's a huge problem, right? And all you do is commoditize what you're doing. And then you end up getting the customer in the mindset of selling or purchasing from the lowest bidder. Whereas when you're selling a job, you know, in our world, and most of the people that are in, you know, a good quality shop, they do have to address price, but it's the value that's added in there. For a technician or any employee that joins your team, the real cost of this is going to be the time that they spend with you, right? That's what they're investing with you. And so the question is, how much am I going to be compensated? Because I need that to live and to, you know, enjoy life outside of this. But while I'm here, I'm going to be spending a lot of time here. And what can you offer me that's going to make me happy while I'm here? The rock stars that you're looking for, they want to grow, right? They want to be a part of a winning team. They want to build things. They want to be around people that are fun and energized and motivated as well. And those are the people that you're really looking for. So one of the things that we really have found is very motivational is the growth aspect of it, right? And Michael, you know, when he and I first met, he just kind of kept preaching, hey, look, you know, people want to grow. The rock stars want to grow. And you start talking about that to people on your team and people that are potentially coming into your team that are candidates. You say, hey, look, you know, this is, you keep talking growth, and those people light up when you talk about the company growing. If you're stagnant and the company's been like this for the last 30 years and we have no plans to change, then you're not going to attract those top people, those motivated people. And so you're going to have a big challenge on your hand. Growing is extremely challenging, but so is, you know, remaining stagnant.
One of the science believes that all humans, regardless of culture, race, background, anything, gender, are all wired the same way, that we want to climb three stages in life. We want to first make sure our physical needs are met. I'm going to put a context of where salary fits in this. The second, when we get our physical needs met, we want our psychological needs met. And those are things like belonging to a group, being able to be part of a functional team, having self-esteem, having others' esteem where people feel good about you. And the third layer that people want to climb up into is their self-fulfillment needs. And that's self-actualization and ultimately transcendence, finding some meaning in what they do. I brought all that out just to say, when we talk about salary is a terrible motivator, quote, from the standpoint that it really only covers the physical needs component. You can't pay somebody enough to make them feel self-fulfilled. There are aspects of it that make you feel better because you out-earn your friends. But the reality is the pay thing, once it takes care of your basic physical needs, you're out of the pay structure. You got to move into something else. So we have to start putting teamwork together, and we have to start teaching people how to belong. And this is easier said than done. We've all got those people on our teams that come from dysfunctional families or come from backgrounds, even in an industry where they've had terrible bosses before, where it's sarcastic and mean, and there's no development. There's nothing positive in it at all. They bring that to you when they start working with you. So just because they get there and they know how to fix a car, it doesn't mean they know how to have a healthy relationship with the people around them. And so that's part of what Brian's talking about, and Casey, when you go to look for the right kind of talent that you want on your team, you'd like to be able to go deeper on this stuff with your candidates and find out, what's your background? How do you feel about belonging to a team? Where have you belonged to good groups, and where haven't you, and where didn't it work very well? How do you feel about yourself? How do you feel about the others around you? And then what do you like to learn? And there will be some people who have been trained by life to say, I don't want to grow. I want to stay stuck where I am. I spent a good chunk of my life trying to save those people and talk them out of being stuck there. Can't do it. If they want to stay stuck there, they are. So in the recruiting and then the development model where you're helping to build a pathway for people to climb this ladder, finding when you lose somebody who doesn't want to play this new growth game that you have, you go out and find somebody who's already into that model and likes it. And in essence, you're building a team of masters. You're finding people who want to grow and keep growing, push their comfort zones out, stand on the other side of it, and you build a culture that supports that. You can do extraordinary things as a company.
Yeah, and I think you hit it right on the head, the culture. It really is about the culture of your we talk about it constantly. It's not just a tag word. It really is something that you have to pay attention to. With my manager, that's something that we talk about a lot is, do you feel when somebody is not happy? When you walk into the shop or the front counter or the parts department, you look around and you can tell, you know these people well enough. I mean, they're close to you. You got to focus in on, there's something eating at them. And I know because of the last few years, it's been hard. It's been a bit masked, but you need to focus in on the fact that they might not be where they want to be. And that's the time. It's the time to talk to them about the vision and revisiting it and making sure that they're really on a path that they know that they're important. Why do most people leave their jobs? I mean, I think you'll find everybody will agree. It's not about the money 9 times out of 10.
No.
It's about what the environment is. Are they happy? Do people treat them like humans? When they come to work, do they dread it? You know, I know it's cliche. We talk about culture a lot, but it's very, very important in what we're talking about motivation-wise, in my opinion.
Hey, Carm here. Now, coming up, find out why incentive pay just doesn't work. When it comes to servicing vehicles, you're crushing it. Your techs are skilled, their work is top-notch, but something is missing. Shopware, an industry-leading shop management system, could be your secret weapon. Not only does the SMS eliminate busy work for your skilled technicians, but it improves your customer service experience as well. Can you already see those 5-star reviews? If you schedule a call with a Shopware rep, they can show you the endless examples of 5-star reviews their SMS is driving for hundreds of auto shops around the country. How do they do it? Well, for starters, they have an easy-to-use interface that allows estimates to be reviewed and approved on any device. Can you say cha-ching? We all know that the best customers are the ones that keep coming back. Book a demo with my friends at GetShopware.com to see how their software can drive repeat business for your shop. Did you know there's actually a best time to ask a customer for an online review? It's true. According to Broadly, asking for a review right after service is key. Think about it. That's when the car looks good and the customer is happy and in the best frame of mind to give you a good review. And all those good reviews, well, that's what's going to get the attention of people who search for auto shops online and get you even more customers coming into your shop. Do you have a company helping you out with reviews? Do they make sure each customer is being asked to leave you a review? Broadly gives you the confidence to ask and receive more quality online reviews from your clients. Get Broadly's system. Help prospects have confidence in your shop when they see a large number of 5-star reviews. Make the move. Visit Broadly on the web at getbroadly.com/chat to start chatting with a Broadly representative and learn more. On the web at getbroadly.com/chat. I got to stop for a moment and throw this in. Who is it that said rock stars want to grow? I can't remember if that was Brian. And we talk a lot about that inside the industry. The top shops, they're always looking to hire rock stars and they're always looking for improvements. God help it, you got a staff of rock stars. Your job's harder than you ever thought. But as a leader, you've got to change to understand how that works.
Absolutely.
Well, I think, you know, the fun part about that is that you do move into a different level of ownership and a different role in ownership, right? And if you don't have very highly motivated, competent people, then you get into this situation where you kind of live your life down in the operations and the daily tasks and managing people and trying to get them to do the right thing and SOPs and disciplinary and all that sort of stuff, right? So those people are not going to push you very hard to grow yourself. But when you pull in people that are highly motivated and competent, then all of a sudden you move into a role of, now I have to grow the company. Now I have to provide the things that these people are looking for. And those people are not looking for standard operating procedures. They're not looking for, you know, how many times is the neighbor being disciplined or anything like that. What they're looking for is, I'm doing my job very well, and I want to see that growth and that value that I'm adding into the company. I want to see that turning into more opportunities for me. And how do those opportunities come about? Well, it's because the company's growing and more positions are opening up and it's expanding, right? And that's kind of where for me, that's where the fun part is, because then they push me to get better too.
When you talk about going to turn your company over and potentially sell it someday, at the end of your legacy building life that you have, the buyer who will pay you the most money for it is the one who sees you as a person that can hand them the keys and walk away. And it keeps going the same way it was without you. If you're stuck in operations, you're stuck in mitigating people problems, you're stuck in fixing financial problems, you can't walk away. You don't walk away with as much value. So what Brian's talking about, if you got a team of rock stars and they run this thing like a machine, and I think I saw Kent weigh in and say they sort of do some self-disciplining and drive themselves higher, you're in a position to get the greatest value out of your lifetime investment as well at the end, if you put yourself in a position to have these people running the company for you, basically.
Casey, you've got a staff of rock stars. Help me set some achievable goals.
It depending on the individual. For a technician, usually it's a production goal. I want to be more efficient. I have a goal of we call them baby step goals. We really do. We start off small, and I'm a firm believer in, if you can achieve the first one and know where the second goal is, you can get there. I'm not a believer in setting a carrot out and keep pulling it out from under somebody, you know, and that happens too much. I have a lot of employees that have been through that. So when I start talking about where we can get together, I can see their eyes start to glaze over, and I know I'm starting to lose them. And so the proof's in the pudding. So it's different. You know, technicians, service advisors, managers, they all have their path. And I think talking about it is the number one, revisiting with them, especially on character building moments, like we like to call our bad days, you know, and remember that this is just a bump in the road and we're going to get to where we need to go. Don't forget about the big picture. You know, if whatever that might be for that individual. And the hardest thing to do is change that hat from being a direct owner to being an owner with management team below them, because then you have to instill these paying attention to it. Did somebody lose their way? You know, the cars are going to get fixed. We've got great technicians and if they lose their path, they might find somewhere else to do it. So I think the recognizing from management position and bringing it to the attention of the, you know, hey, I think maybe this person has forgotten what their end game is for the next, you know, three quarters, so to speak. I like a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year thing. I mean, start with 1 year, even 6 months, couple of quarters. I kind of look at the year in oil changes. That's a joke. I use it all the time. I'm saying, hey, we're one oil change away from spring. Let's put a smile on our face, right? So, you know, if it's that simple and it's that short, and the goal is to get through the cold days make it simple. It doesn't have, and financial is usually a really bad goal. It could be a team goal too. And so just depends on the individual.
That's a takeaway. We're one oil change away from spring. In my mind, I can relate to it. I know what it means, and it gives me spirit. And every day you keep saying that, and guess what? Spring will be here. By the way, I want to thank Nathan Adcock. He kind of been hanging out with us for a while. He's out in Scotland. Good to have you. I don't know. Scotland must be like 10 o'clock at night or something. And Kent, thank you so much for all your great comments.
That's a great segue, because I was about ready to talk about Nathan. He said Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I think that's a lot of what we're talking about. And if as a shop owner or just a manager leader, you don't understand that concept, you really are missing out on a great foundation for understanding people. But you know what's interesting is, you know, Maslow came out in the 40s, 30s and 40s, and he kind of developed that. But about 10, 15 years later, a guy named Frederick Hertzberg came back, and he was really looking at industrial psychology on that same level. And what he found was that if you get rid of the things that and handle well, not great, but well, the things that make people upset about coming to work, then you can go into starting to motivate people by what really drives them and what really lights them up. So when you talk about things that make people unhappy about work, then you're talking about the working conditions, relationships with their coworkers, policies, procedures, supervisor, quality-based pay and salary, those sorts of things, really can create a lot of dissatisfaction, a lot of noise in the work area that is really tough to come over, probably impossible to come over if somebody feels like their working conditions are unsafe or unclean or their policies and rules get in the way of them being successful. But once you kind of create that environment and get rid of that noise, now all of a sudden you can go into the fun stuff, which is helping people find achievement, giving them recognition, increasing their responsibility, making sure that the work itself is meaningful, advancement in the company and personal growth as well. Knowing that what we do means a whole lot to a whole lot of people, not just the customer, but to their team members, to their families, to the community, those sorts of things. That's what's really fun, right? And you don't get the right to play in that space and talk in that space if your working conditions are terrible, if the coworkers aren't getting along with each other, if you put a bunch of policies and rules in place that really, you know, kick people in the shins and they don't allow them to grow. You know, a good example of that is I get all the oil changes and Joe gets all the gravy. I mean, that's a policy procedure that will demotivate somebody in a big way. And they're really not interested in how meaningful the work is or about their own achievement and recognition because they're upset about, you know, not being treated fairly. You know, when you start talking about the basis for that motivation, that's really where I started. And Casey had talked about talking about goals and getting things going. And I think that's a big part of that, right? And really, you know, when I start, you know, having a conversation with somebody about their career path and how happy they are in the company and motivating them, the first thing I want to say is, hey, look, how are things at the shop? Where's your head at with all of these items that can create a lot of dissatisfaction? Okay, let's take care of those for you. The equipment isn't right. Let me get you, you know, the right equipment or get that equipment fixed. Then let's start talking about, hey, how do you feel about the shop? Where are you wanting to go, you know, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? Do you realize how important it is what you do? Relating that to, you know, having a sense that the work that they're doing is very meaningful. And then making sure that on a regular basis that we recognize them, that we tell them how much we appreciate them. And that, and, you know, and Casey had mentioned it, that money isn't everything. And I can tell you 9 times out of 10, when I'm interviewing somebody that's leaving a company, they will in some form or fashion, if they don't come right out and say it all flat out, they will tell you, I don't feel appreciated where I'm at. I don't feel like the work that I'm putting in there gets recognized, and they don't realize how much work I'm doing. So I'm looking to go somewhere where my input is valued. So there's a lot that goes into this, and our jobs like get very busy. And that's where I was kind of talking about before the break, is that, you know, when you bring people that are motivated, that want these things, that are driven by all this stuff, your job becomes a lot more, well, like Mike said, I don't know that there's more work or less work, but it's certainly a lot funner and it's more rewarding to deal with that sort of stuff. And so as owners, at least myself, but I think most owners, they want to live up in that, hey, I'm building something that I can look back on 5, 10, 20 years from now and say, man, that was really cool what I did there. A lot of people appreciated it. I achieved a ton of stuff. People recognized me and I got, you know, tons of recognition as I went through this and as I, you know, left the industry and retired as the guy that did this, this, and this. And that's, it's all the same, right? It's just, you know, your role in the company becomes different when you're doing that and you're bringing people along that are motivated by those sorts of things. And so when you give that to them, then they give more of it back to you and then you give more of it back to them and it just starts feeding on itself. So that's where all the action is, right? That's where the fun is, and not just this industry, but any business. That's where the fun is in life in general, is just, you know, getting people motivating and seeing you feed off of each other and pushing each other to grow.
It's like the startups that you see that are so successful when they're the young, aggressive, they're very, very motivated. And you know, when you see a startup where everybody's rowing in the same direction, it's incredible to see where they can go. That always gives me goosebumps when I see, you see them and you think back in the past when you noticed them coming, just barely coming up and now they're huge. And you knew at the beginning that it wasn't just the visionary, that it was the, it It was the fact that they were able to portray that vision to all of their people, and everybody got excited about it. And and just like Brian said, that excitement is it's contagious, and it's a good contagion.
And when you're a startup and you're looking to recruit, hire a team, what do you have to sell? Your vision, the goals that you have to build this new widget, this new piece of software, this new service company, whatever it is. And the people who want to come to work for you are excited about that. That's what they want to do. Great points. By the way, Michael, you've got so much great things to say. One of the things you told me is that, listen, incentive pay plans and all those things, Carm, are not necessarily marginally effective.
Pay plans, and what the science says is that pay plans need to bring you up to market and then leave it there. In other words, you can overpay people significantly and it doesn't change their internal motivation whatsoever. Once their basic needs are met, they're fine. So we have this huge misunderstanding in industry that giant bonus programs drive different kinds of behavior, and it's marginally effective. Now, the one thing I'll say is we all know salespeople. We have front desk people. They have been enculturated throughout the centuries, I suppose, that pay and performance are tied together. So for them, pay and bonus plans are more effective than for techs, for managers, right? Well, one of the things we lose in motivation and goal setting when we think about it is the fact that every employee is on a track, and they're either an apprentice or a journeyman or a master of the space that they're in. And each of those three categories requires different things. They need different things to develop. They need different things from their managers. They need different kinds of goals. And what I want to say is we set a corporate goal of let's grow the company X percentage of revenue, and we slap it out there and we automatically think everybody at every level is going to understand what their contribution to that is. The apprentice is maybe what we would call a conscious incompetent. They don't know what they don't know. They're starting to know what they don't know. They don't know what to do next. You better tell them. So they need very refined goal setting. It motivates them to know how to succeed. As soon as you give them recognition, they're thrilled about that. Journey people are like, look, less micromanagement, more freedom. Tell me what I need to do. If I get stuck, I want somebody to turn to, but I kind of want to figure it out for myself. Masters have learned to stand on their own. They want the data. They want the accountability for self. So when you set goals for masters, you say, look, I want you to tell me what you want to do to contribute to the company. And the master will say, this is where I want to grow. And it's up to you to figure out how to help tune their desire into what you want the company to be. And this is where it gets to be an art, right? We think that if we just throw out some high-level company goals, it's all going to work out and people will be motivated. The connections are not there. You have to drive the connections down to the individual. You have to understand what their contribution is going to be, and you have to get them excited to bring their own personal growth energy back to what you're trying to achieve. And when you can do that one by one and mass it together in a way that you get your corporate goals done, then you fly. You fly like you never have before. So there's an art to goal setting that actually motivates the energy from within people to join you in what you want to accomplish at the corporate level.
We did a show at Town Hall Academy a couple of weeks ago on apathy in your business. One of the pointers that came up, which I thought was so interesting, is one of the shop owners says he asks three questions of his people, rate on 1 to 10, how are you with me? How are you with the company? How are you with you? What are some questions, Michael, Casey, Brian, that we could ask our people to help discover what some of those motivation pointers could be, or how to solve some of their issues?
You know, I love those three questions. And I think even if you boil it down with, you know, hey, how are you? You know, how are we? You know, the company, like Casey said, you know, knowing and having a finger on that pulse is extremely important as well. And having the ability to make sure that if you are running an MSO like we are, that those people that are in charge and they're there and they're in leadership positions on a daily basis, that they have that connection with their team members. But if you're in the shop every day, then it is a huge part of your job to go around and make sure that people know or that you know how what the mood is with everybody. And so, you know, on a regular basis, that there's several different times that you have to go through and talk to people and create those connections and give them the appreciation and let them know how much you appreciate them and let them know that you are approachable and that you want them to be enfranchised and to have a say in what's going on with the company, that this is a collaborative company and you have a voice here. And so I don't know that there's a bunch of different, you know, phrases or anything. I think for me, it really boils down to just talking to people and just knowing about their family and saying, you know, hey, how's everything going? How are you doing? You know, how's the wife? What'd you do over the weekend? What? And just getting people to talk and then truly listening to them and letting them know that you're excited for them or that you're that you feel bad that something bad has happened, you know, that sort of thing. Dr. Henry Cloud, he wrote a book called The Power of the Other, and it's a fantastic book. But really what he says is there's really four corners of communication, four areas of communication. One is just complete disconnect. You don't communicate with somebody. The other one is a false sense of communication where it's kind of dysfunctional, but everybody pretends they're happy. There's this toxic level of communication where there's a lot of dysfunction and you can't solve problems. But then there's this area where people are especially friends, right? That they celebrate the victories with you. They challenge you when you're not doing your best. They console you when something bad has happened. They ask you how they can help. You know, they're there for you to help. And for me, I think the closer you can get to that with people on your team, that they know that you are a true, genuine person and it's not this, you know, false or there's not this disconnection or that there's not this dysfunction, that's where you really want to be. And those are the connections, you know, really in life that you search for, right? When you find it, you're like, man, that guy is like a lifetime friend. He's a gem. He's somebody that you don't find very often. Those are the people in life that, and the reason why they're those rare gems that you run across in life as friends or people you run into is because you can trust them in all those areas that they're going to be there and that they're a genuine person and that they're not just, you know, pumping your tires up or that they don't care and they're disconnected.
I want to let that be your last word. I also want to bring up something that Kent just said. Kent, thanks so much for hanging out with us. Great stuff. Your attention creates the reality. And I love that. If we're not paying attention to our people, they don't think we care, and it's just a job. And your attention to people allows you, if you're open enough and caring enough, to know what their goals are and to try to get them to achieve them. Another big takeaway that I heard from you as we were talking about asking these three questions, Brian, I love the way you sum that up. You, we, and me. You being you, we being the company, and me being your leader. Let's just talk about us or rate us. And if the rating doesn't come up to your satisfaction level, there's the gap. There's the gap to talk about, right? And how do you fill it? Casey, anything we wanted to cover that you wanted to cover that you didn't?
You know, one of the things that I just would add is as you choose a supervisor/manager, somebody that connection, that human connection, you need to feel it with that person because I think they're that's probably one of the big struggles as shop owners moving to managers and trusting and instilling, not chopping them off at the knees, letting them make those decisions, but they need to have your core values at heart. When you find that person, it's a golden opportunity. Let them make their decisions. Let, you know, they're going to make mistakes, but they're the ones that are going to portray your true feelings of your employees when you're not there. And you can't always be there. You definitely can go and you can speak with your employees, but you want your supervisor or manager to have your core values at heart. And I think Brian summed it up really well. Me, you, and us. I mean, that's very powerful stuff.
And I think that's a really big takeaway and something that you can start in your own business. Michael Smith, the last word.
I often share with clients and friends to think about their company as a skyscraper that needs to be on a big foundation, not a neighborhood of little storehouses. And if you're going to do that, the foundation needs to be grounded in your purpose and your character. You need to have a direction that's both aspirational and inspirational, and you need to have a character that people can aspire to. Last word is, if your leaders don't walk that out, you're already toast. You got to make sure the leaders believe in what you do and they're pulling the rope in the same direction. And they are your field people who make sure that your team gets it in the momentary decisions of every day. And with that foundation, with strong leadership, you will end up with the unicorn team, the rock star team that you want.
the more we get into these really big, important, and heavy topics. And Brian, thank you so much for being on a show a while back. And you said the words to me, workplace motivation, and I wrote it down, right? And so here it became a show. And so thank you for bringing that to me and coming back on and bringing Casey and actual Michael with you. But guys, when I think about the level of the topics and the heaviness of some of the discussions that we have, it's got to be waking up the eye of the shop owners that are out there that have said, I never went to school for this. I wasn't prepared for this. And I have to step up not only one or two steps, but a whole ladder's worth of leadership and to get my company. This is who you're competing with. You're competing with the likes of Brian and Casey that have gone to a brand new level and are hiring rock stars. Don't be bashful to want to tackle this level and form of leadership. If you don't, you'll be out, and it won't take long for you to maybe put up your hand and say, Brian, I'm closing my shop. Can I come to work for you? I'd just love to turn wrenches because it's much too hard to run a great business. That is not necessarily the truth because there's so much help to get. And as an example from the Institute, Ken was here, business coach, there's so much help out there. You don't have to do this alone. And Michael, you know that perfectly, right?
Yes. It's my pleasure to help people.
Me too. This is what we do. And we get great people on like Brian, like Casey, you know, each and every week with each and every podcast, over 1,000 of these. So Brian Bates, Eagle Automotive, Littleton, Colorado, MSO with four shops. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Michael Smith, managing partner, Herzberg Smith & Company, building high profit companies. And Casey McGowan from Casey's Independent, Vancouver, Washington. Hey, guys, high five. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.